Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome here to our afternoon service at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. And also welcome again to those in tune with us via internet. Welcome. Please open your hymnals with number 426. 426. Throughout the Lifeline. 426. Lifeline across the dark wave, there is a brother whom someone will save. Somebody's brother who will dare to. Throughout the lifeline he is pursued a share. Throughout the lifeline, someone is singing away. Throughout the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Throughout the lifeline, with hand quick and strong, why do you tarry, why linger so long? See, he is sinking in today, and out with the lifeboat, away them away. Throughout the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throughout the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Throughout the lifeline to danger fraught main, sinking in anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and bellows of woe will soon hurl them out where the dark waters flow. Throughout the lifeline, throughout the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throughout the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon we'll be drifted to eternity shore. Stay, my brother, no time for delay, but throughout the lifeline and save them today. Throughout the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throughout the lifeline, someone sinking today.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again that we have that opportunity, if we're saved, to help others to know the truth. What a privilege it is for us to be able to gather here, to be able to have our sign on the outside of our building so that people can see where we are. They can see at times when we meet. We can also go out and give out literature. We can invite people. We can pray for people. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to help others to know the truth if we're saved. We do pray for each one that is here today. Pray for those that have joined us via live stream. Just pray that we can be a help to people to know thy peace and blessing. Pray that our devotionals would be a help as well. For our website, we're thankful that Geraldine is willing to maintain that site, that it works for other people to find it. And we ask that thy will be accomplished as we continue to reach out here, that we can help people to know the truth and know thy peace and forgiveness. We ask thy will be accomplished in Israel, that many Jews would be saved, including Mr. Netanyahu. Pray for the election coming up in the United States as the That country is very corrupt and there's much unevil, much evil going on there. We do pray for thy will to be accomplished. We know that it is the hand of God that puts kings into power and removes kings. We pray the same for our country here, that our leaders would see the need to repent and be saved, our police force as well as doctors and nurses. We pray for wisdom that we could help people to know the truth and that we'd be bold and faithful to thee in the work that thou hast called us to. So may thy will be accomplished here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 445. 445. No, not one. There's not a friend like a loving Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else would heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. No friends like him is too high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is too meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. Or sit the dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. They never since find his friend forsake him. No, not one, no, not one. Or sinners finds that he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Was there a grief like a Savior giving? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. And over to 453. 453, he keeps me singing. Number 453.
Mm-hmm.
whisper sweet and home. Fear not, I am with thee, peace and still, and in all my life and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wreck, my sin and strife. This could fill my heart with pain. Jesus, sweep across the broken string, stir the stumbling chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Bursting on the riches of his grace, resting in his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials falls across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, it is footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon is coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hosea. We're in Hosea chapter 9. We're reading there today from verse 10. Through to the end of verse 17 of Hosea chapter 9. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. And their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, and from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them, for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have thy word. We're thankful again for the truthfulness of thy word, that we can read thy word, we can listen to the warnings that were given to the nation of Israel years ago that still apply to Israel today, and that we as Gentiles can also learn from this to understand that our God, the true God, is a holy God. He cannot allow sin to rule. And his children, those who take his name, need to be those who live the truth. And so we pray that thy will would be accomplished here this afternoon as we study this passage, that each one that's listening would again set aside those things that would hinder them from hearing, that they would want to pay attention to thy text, to the word, and that they would allow thee to speak to their hearts, that those that are lost would see their need to be saved, those that are saved would see the need to be strengthened to walk faithfully with thee. So may thy will be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this afternoon is Without God, Man is Nothing. Without God, man is nothing. We've been talking a lot about the nation of Israel. We pray for the nation of Israel every week. And the nation of Israel was raised up by God. We've said it before, but if you take the name Israel, the last two letters of that name are E-L. That's the name of God. So the nation of Israel was given that name by God. The name that Israel had before that was Jacob. Jacob was one of the sons, the 12 sons of Jacob was one of the two sons of Isaac. He had 12 sons. But Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel. And from that, the nation of Israel was built through the 12 sons that Jacob had. And so without God, they would have been nothing. God began to do his work through Abram and changed his name to Abraham. He demonstrated by that his control, his authority over Abram. He changed his name. Usually in a home, it's the parents that give the children their name. And so by that, the parents demonstrate, this is our child. Now, if you listen to people like Mrs. Clinton, who believes that it takes a village to raise a child, and if you listen to different government officials, they claim that the children belong to the state. They don't belong to the parents. And so if we allow that to happen, then the state will come along and name the children as part of their demonstration that they own them. And so it's up to people to wake up and to realize that the government does not have the right to interfere in the family, and that children belong to their parents. And parents are responsible for raising the children in a way that pleases God. Most people don't do that. Most people don't understand that. And so they let the government raise the children through daycare and through the public school system. And that's why we have the mess that we have in our country. And so the nation of Israel in our text was in trouble because they had forsaken God. And our country today is in trouble because we have forsaken God. Need to keep in mind, in the book of Hosea, God chose Hosea, a faithful follower of God, a prophet of God, and he told Hosea to marry a woman of whoredoms. Gomer was her name. And God told Hosea to do that because he was going to use Hosea and Gomer as a picture of himself and the nation of Israel. Hosea was a type of God. Gomer was a type of the nation of Israel. Gomer was a runaround. She was not faithful to Hosea. She wanted to have many men. She even was willing to sell herself into slave trade for the sake of having many men. And that was a picture of the nation of Israel. Israel had sold themselves to serving idols, as we see in our text here again. And the result of that was further bondage. So God is seeking to show Israel through very practical pictures what was going on. So we want to look first of all at Israel's humble beginnings. So you look at verse 10, it says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. And the I there is God. Hosea is speaking the words of God. So Israel was found by God like grapes in the wilderness. Now, if you've ever gone into the bush and you find a grapevine in the bush, when those grapes are ripe, many times they're sweeter than the grapes that grow on the vines that are tame grapes, grapes that are cultivated. And so Israel was something that was, through Abram. Abram was called out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldees. And God worked with Abram and Sarah, and he taught them what they needed to know. And for the most part, they were teachable. Abram was willing to leave his homeland. He was willing to go to the new land that God gave him to go to. And there he lived, and there he had Isaac, and that's where he died. So Israel was like that grapevine that's in the wilderness. And also it says, I saw your fathers as the first ripe of the fig tree at her first time. So this is talking about a young tree that is for the first time going to bear fruit. And so Israel again, as a nation, started off with one man and one woman. And they had no children. And they did not have a son until many years later, after God had taught them some things that were important for them to learn in order to be able to have that son that God had planned for them. Abram decided to go against the will of God and listen to his wife, and he went and had a son with Hagar, but that was not according to God's will. That son was named Ishmael. And the Bible says that he would be a wild man living amongst his brethren. And that is who we have in the Muslim community. People that are wild, they can't get along with each other, and they are out to destroy anyone that doesn't believe them and follow their ways. So the Ishmaelites are a part of that group. They're not the total amount, but they are a part of what we know as the Islamic world today. It's more than a religion. That's important to understand that. Islam is not just a religion. It's a philosophy of life. It's a system of way of living, of government, and so on. So in our text here, God is reminding the nation of Israel of their humble beginnings. They started out like that grapevine in the wilderness. They started out like that fig tree in its first year of bearing fruit and the first figs on that tree. And if you take an orange that comes straight off of the tree in California or in Florida, that orange tastes much different than the one you buy in the store. Those of you from the Philippines, you know that some of the fruit that you grow there tastes much different than the fruit you buy in the store. It's always different when it comes straight off the vine. Even tomatoes, when you take them straight off the plant, they taste much different than the ones you buy in the store. And so there is some benefit and some blessing in having fresh fruit. And God talks about the nation of Israel here and compares them to this fresh fruit, which is very tasty. But it says in verse 10, but they went to Baal Peor. Now that's talking about idols. So Israel went and turned to idols. And we know that when Jacob left Laban, that Rachel took her father's idols with her, and later on they were buried under a tree. But idolatry, Abram came out of an idol-worshipping country. He left idolatry, but idolatry was never very far from Israel. And in the early time, even when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses was up in the mount receiving the Ten Commandments from God and the instructions for the building of the tabernacle, Aaron made a golden calf for the people to worship. So idolatry was a problem that Israel never completely forsook. And today they don't have idols as a whole, but if we go back to October 7, when the Hamas raided Israel, that there was a big music festival taking place in southern Israel, and they had an image of Buddha at that music festival. So even today in Israel, idolatry is still a problem. And that's why they were attacked, and that's why Hamas was so successful in killing so many Jews and causing so much destruction, because Israel is living in sin, and God is not protecting them as he would if they would be following him. So it says here, but they went to Baal-Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. Idolatry is not a good thing. It's a shame upon any people that follows after idols. And we have idolatry in our country. We have it amongst the Catholics. We have it amongst other groups as well, that they have many idols, and that is not something to be proud of. That's a shame. In the hometown where I grew up, there's a lot of Catholics, and they would take the old cast iron bathtubs, and they would either cut it in half or they would bury the bottom half and have it standing up on its end. And inside there, they would have an image of Mary. And some of them would wire it up and have a light shining on her. And they were very intent on worshiping Mary. And they wanted everybody else to know it too, because they had it in their front yard where anybody driving by could see it. And idolatry is a curse upon humanity. And so not only that, but it says their abominations were according as they loved. So we see here that the love of these people was idolatry, not God. And God created man to love him. He wanted man to know him and to know the love of God in his heart and in response to love God. But these people, the Jews, they had come to the place by the time of Hosea, and even before that, but they were steeped in idolatry. Now, there were still a few people like Hosea who honored God, but the majority of the people, they chose to follow after idols. And the second thing we notice here is there's no lasting treasure without God. There's no lasting treasure without God. So in verse 11, we see, as for Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was the firstborn of Joseph. Joseph was the firstborn of Jacob and Rebekah. Or Rachel, I should say. Jacob and Rachel. And so the blessing that went to the firstborn did not go to Jacob and Leah's firstborn. It went to Jacob and Rachel's firstborn. And that was Joseph. So Ephraim was the firstborn of, was not the firstborn. Manasseh was the firstborn, but Ephraim received the blessing. You remember when Joseph brought his two sons before Jacob, and he put them so that Jacob's right hand would be on Manasseh, and his left hand would be on Ephraim. And Jacob, even though he couldn't see at that time, he crossed his arms and he put his right hand on Ephraim, and his left hand on Manasseh. So Ephraim received the greater blessing from Jacob than Manasseh, the firstborn. And so later on, as we see here, the north, Israel, was also called Ephraim. And so as we look at verse 11, when it talks about Ephraim there, it's talking about the northern 10 tribes of Israel, Ephraim being the name used for them. And so as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. So all the benefit that they could have had, they would lose it because of their idolatry. And the same is true today. You look at our country, we don't believe in replacement theology here. We don't believe that the Gentiles or the churches have taken the place of Israel, because we haven't. We've been grafted into, true churches have been grafted into the root, which is still Israel. But we can learn from what's going on in Israel. And we see that the glory of Israel, of Ephraim, would fly away like a bird. And so we see in Canada. Canada was once a stronger country than we are today, very industrious nation, but Canada is becoming a third world country. We are losing any respect on the world stage. People laugh at us, laugh at our prime minister, they mock him. We don't have any respect. We don't have a good air force, we don't have a good army. We're losing out because we have forsaken God. We don't understand what a true nation is. And that's intentional, because our government wants to destroy the independence of Canada. And that falls in line with the world system, the globalist system, where all of the world comes under one leader and there is no nationality. That's what we're moving toward. And of course, that is all in preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. So Ephraim, in our text, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. So the young people in Ephraim, the young people in Israel, would not have that national pride that a people should have in their country. So from the birth, from the young ones up, they would lose that glory that they once had. And again, we see that in Canada, where we see the younger generation doesn't have that sense of national pride that should be here. I'm a Canadian, and I want to defend Canada. And so we have an armed forces right now that couldn't defend our country if they wanted to, because we're not equipped to be able to go to battle. That's the problem we face. United States as well, it's been said that if there was a war, that someone was attacking the United States, they could not defend themselves. They've given so much of their armaments to Ukraine, and because of the government there, they're not funding it properly. They don't have the forces, and nor do they have the stamina amongst the forces. When you take the diversity an equity idea that is in Canada, United States, where you have to have so many women, you have to have so many people of color, and so on, and you make that your rule as to how you're going to hire, you lose out. You're no longer hiring based on qualifications. Now you're hiring based on, we have to have this look, and that doesn't work. It's not a look that saves you. It's a stamina that you need that is going to protect you in time of battle. So we're losing, and that's what was happening here to Ephraim in the time of Hosea. In verse 12, it tells us there, it says, "For though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left, yea, woe also to them when I depart from them." So even though the parents here in Israel and Ephraim would be raising up their children, God would take those children away. Now, parents generally have the idea that they will die before their children do. And it hurts parents when one of their children dies before they do. You don't expect that. That's not the norm. But God says that would become the norm here, that God would take out the... You know, it's the young people in a society that keeps society going. We older people, we can't do what we once did. We need the younger generation to keep the country going. And when your younger generation dies off, you're in trouble. And here God says that even though they bring up their children, even though they raise them, yet he's going to take them away. And there shall not be a man left, yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. When God turns his back on a nation, that nation is finished. And so what happened to Ephraim? What happened to the north? Well, the Bible tells us the Assyrians came in and they infiltrated the north. They took many captives. They killed many of the Jews. And they put their own people into Israel to populate the land. And because Assyria was a pagan nation, what did God do? The Bible says that God sent lions into the north, and they roamed the streets, even in the cities, and so the people were afraid to even go outside. So what did they do then? Well, they called back some of the priests, the corrupt priests, but they called some of them back to teach the people the fear of God. But the Bible says that they serve God and the idols. That doesn't work. You can't have two systems of religion working together. They never will. There's always going to be a competition. There's already going to be a battle. And when you have, that's why I said over the noon hour that the ecumenical movement, which is very popular today in the world and in Canada, that system is poison. That is where all the religions get together and think we're going to work together to reach our community. That doesn't work. Born-again Christians cannot work with non-Christians. This church cannot work with the Catholics or the United or any other group for that matter, because they are lost and we are found. So we have nothing in common. We're people, but religiously, we have nothing in common. And we would be defeating ourselves if we decided to join with them. And it would not help this community. So joining together with the enemies of God is not the way to win. And God says here that he would depart from the north. And he did that. He allowed the Syrians to come in, the Assyrians to come in, and they plundered the land. And Israel has never, ever, since that time, never, ever have they had their independence the way God intended it. Yes, they are a nation now. They have a prime minister. They have a president. But if you follow the news, you know that the world is always trying to interfere in what goes on in Israel. Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. How many embassies are in Jerusalem? I mean, even in Israel, their parliament does not meet in Jerusalem. So, and during this war with Hamas and Hezbollah, the United States, leading the cause, is pressuring Israel to stop the war and to make peace. What happens if Israel stops the war and makes peace? Hamas is going to rebuild, and they're going to continue to fight against Israel because their goal is to destroy them. So they're not going to win. But Israel does not have that independence, that sovereignty, because they have rejected God. That's the problem. They don't understand that, and the world doesn't understand that. But that is the problem. So in verse 13, we see there it says, Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus. Now Tyrus was built on the, part of it was built on the coast of the land there in the Middle East, and part of it was built on a island. And it was a fishing area. And it was protected. Part of it was on the land and part of it on an island in the sea. So their idea in that was that even if they got attacked on the mainland, they would see that attack happening and they could fortify themselves out there on the island and keep the enemy from invading them. And that worked for years. It was the Greeks who finally figured out how to attack the island and win. And they were able to destroy that area. But until then, they were able to defend themselves. And so Tyrus was a place, as it says here in verse 13, planted in a pleasant place. And that's what Israel was too. God said, when he talked to the nation of Israel, he said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. What made Israel flow with milk and honey? They were blessed by God. You go to Israel today, and there are parts of Israel where they have good vegetation. But there are many parts of Israel today that's like a wilderness. It's like a desert. You go into the hills of Judea, you see these scrub bushes there, and greenery is not seen there. And you see these wild animals look a bit like a goat or like a deer, but they somehow live off of those scrubs that are there. But it's not productive land, but it was at one time when God blessed them. And so Israel, it says here, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. So again, another warning that Israel was going to end up surrendering their children to Assyria. And Assyria was known for their violence, their vicious nature. So Ephraim, God is warning here. God knows everything. And it would have been wise for the Jews to listen to what Hosea was telling them here and to turn to God, but they didn't do that. They ignored what Hosea had to say. But again, the scripture is given for them then and for us today to learn from. What's going on in Canada? We're seeing enemies coming in from all over the place. And what are we doing? We're opening our borders to enemies and we're chasing out the truth. Our prime minister said a number of years ago, one of his biggest enemies was evangelical Christianity. That's what he said. When you chase out true Christians, you're in big trouble. When you try to suppress them, like the government did during the Wuhan virus, when they tried to shut down churches, that's not a good sign for a nation. And even though they are using a corrupt justice system to try to penalize churches that stayed open, that's not a good sign for this country. It's not going to benefit our country at all. And we're seeing that already now, and it's going to create more problems as time moves on. And of course, the day is coming when the Antichrist will come and the entire world will embrace that man. I believe when he comes that Canada and the United States will not be much of a country anymore because we're falling apart already, and it's not going to go well for us. But those that are saved, when the Antichrist comes, Jesus is going to come first, and the Christians will be taken out. So true Christians, if the Lord were to return today, true Christians would be taken out of this world before the Antichrist comes. And so true Christians will not suffer under the Antichrist even for a day. They'll be taken out before he is established. So our hope again is in Christ. So if you're listening to me today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because without Christ, you have nothing. So the third thing that we want to look at here is what to expect from rebellion. What should our country expect today in Canada? What can Israel expect right now? What to expect from rebellion? Verse 14. Give them, O Lord, and the word Lord there you see is all capitalized, speaking of Jehovah God. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Now, no mother is happy to lose a child. When that mother is pregnant with that child, now we have in our country, because of the wickedness of many people, we have women who are pregnant and they go to the doctor and say, I don't want this baby, and they have the doctor murder that baby. Those women are godless women. They hate God, and that's why they choose that murder. But a normal woman, a godly woman, is happy to be able to conceive. But she wants to see that child carry through to the time when it's born. And here God says, I'm going to give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. So once that baby is born, the mother wants to be able to nurse that child. Back in Bible times, they didn't have formula like we have today. They didn't have all these substitutes. And even today, we know that these man-made substitutes are not the same as the mother's milk. God designed the mother's milk to be the nourishment that that child needs. Every mother is different. And that mother bears that child, and that mother's milk is what that child needs. And that milk might not be suitable for some other mother's child because it's designed by God for that child. God knows what he's doing. And here God says, I'm going to give them miscarrying womb and dry breasts. So think about it. You're a mother, you give birth to a child, but you have no milk for that child. Now what are you going to do? Well, again, in our world, you can run to the store and you can buy a formula and you can mix it up. But back then, they didn't have that. So what are you going to do? What if you don't have access to a cow or a goat? And cow's milk and goat's milk is not the same as human milk. So that child is set back right from the beginning. You got a problem on your hands. And no mother wants to see that young child in her arms starving and crying in pain because of hunger and eventually dying because of starvation. But God says, that's what I'm going to give Ephraim, because Ephraim had rejected him. In verse 15, all their wickedness is in Gilgal. Gilgal was an important place in Israel. For there I hated them. That's a very strong statement that God made. There I hated them. It's not a good thing when God hates you. And Israel had come to the place where they earned that hatred. God never forces anyone to defy him. God wants to bless people. But when a people decides, I'm going to go against God, I'm going to stay away from God, I don't want nothing to do with him, eventually God says, okay, that's how you want it. You can have it that way. That's not a good thing when God says that. And he is still doing that today. We don't know. I can't tell you who God is doing that to. But God is still the same. And there comes a time when he says, enough. You want it that way? You can have it that way. It's a dangerous place to be at. Nobody should tempt God and test God and see, well, God, how long are you going to put up with me? God wants us to turn to him in repentance and know his forgiveness and his peace. And so why does it say that God hated them? It says, for the wickedness of their doings. That's why. I will drive them out of mine house. You see, the land of Israel was God's land. It still is today. And he calls it his house. And he says, I'm going to drive them out of there. And that's what he did. He drove them out by the Assyrians. It was in 1948 when some of the world leaders decided, we're going to allow Israel to come back into their land. Think about that. The nations of the world said, we're going to allow Israel to come back into their land, as if the world owned that land. The arrogance of ungodly people, thinking that they have the power to say who can live where. But God gave Israel back that land, because after Israel was back in that land, and when the enemies came and attacked Israel, and the British said, we're going to defend Israel, but when the enemies came in and attacked, Britain stayed home. They did not protect Israel. Israel was left to themselves. They only had a few guns. They had no planes. They had no tanks. And so what did Israel do? They took tin cans and sticks, and they banged the sticks on the tin cans, and to the enemy, it sounded like gunfire. You can read about it in history. It sounded like gunfire, so even though there were no bullets flying or very few, the enemy ran because they heard all this noise and said, "They're coming after us. We're going to get defeated." And if you go to Israel today, you find Egyptian tanks sitting in the deserts of Judea. They didn't run out of gas. The motors didn't break down. They just stopped. What happened? God stopped them. And you know that the people at that time, they said, "This is the hand of God." You remember when the nation of Israel was in Egypt in Bible times, and God sent Moses to warn the Pharaoh to let the people go. And Moses was told by God to use different plagues to get Pharaoh's attention. And there came a time during those plagues when Pharaoh's magician said, "This is the finger of God." They didn't say, "This is the hand of God." They said, "This is the finger of God." They understood the power of God, but Pharaoh didn't listen. And eventually, Pharaoh's own firstborn was killed, and then he was killed in the Red Sea. But there was a massive destruction amongst the Egyptians because of the Pharaoh's wickedness. But the nation of Israel was delivered at that time. Same thing happened in 1948, or after 1948, as the enemies, the Muslims, tried to wipe them out, and the British backed off and said, "We're not getting involved." And what has happened to Britain? You remember that Britain used to be called Great Britain. They're no longer Great Britain. England itself is being overrun by Muslims now. The British people, they just had an election recently in England, and the Labour Party won, and they are a socialist communist party, and they are attacking the British people and defending the Muslims. It's illegal in Britain to put anything on the internet that criticizes the British government right now. You can be arrested and you can be fined for doing that. So that's what's happening there, and don't be surprised if that comes to Canada, where our government does the same thing. So God gives us many opportunities to look around and see what's going on, what wicked people are doing, and how important it is to know the truth. But many people, you know, in Canada, there have been many people that have protested the Wuhan virus lockdowns. Many of those people were not Christians. But they were smart enough to realize that that lockdown was not good for us as a country. The government sent out the horses, the army, even foreign armies helped to trample down, especially the freedom convoys. If you paid attention to the news, you know what they did to them. They froze bank accounts. Some of them are still in the courts fighting against that. That was just a small example of what's coming in the future. Think back to China some years back, the Tiananmen Square, when the Chinese people revolted against their government. What did the government do? They stomped that out, just like our government did during the Wuhan virus. There's more of that coming. And when the Antichrist comes, he'll be even more ruthless than what we see now. So God is giving us these warnings, both in the scriptures and as we look at our history. And the wise person wakes up and says, it's time to turn to God. It's time to follow him. So it says in verse 15 again, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. And that's true. When you look at the north, Israel, Ephraim, every king of the north was a wicked king. Every one of them. Not one of them was a God-fearing king. And so it says, all their princes are revolters. Not one of their kings ever tried to reform the north. God sent prophets in there, but none of their kings, none of the king's sons, none of them wanted to see things turned back to God. So verse 16, Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. So again, God is using a picture here of a mother with a child. And again, a normal mother loves her child. She carries that child for 9 months. And when that child is born, that mother wants to embrace that child. And it doesn't matter if that child looks ugly, doesn't matter if it has a cleft lip, doesn't matter if it has an eye missing or whatever it is, that mother wants to hug that child and wants to love that child because that child is from her. There's a bonding that takes place there. And God says, I'm going to take away, I'm going to slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. So God is using the picture of a mother with a child and comparing that to Israel and what God was going to do with them and what he did do with them. And again, if we go back to last October 7, the Hamas raid in Israel, many of the people that Hamas killed were young people because the party that they were at was a lot of young people. The six hostages that the Hamas killed just this Friday, I think it was, some of them, they were young people. The best of the people, the ones that are going to grow up, going to be mothers and fathers and help to keep the country going. But Hamas took after them. They killed older people too, yes, but they killed a lot of young people in that raid on October the 7th. Israel still hasn't learned. They still haven't turned back to God. They will one day, but they still haven't done that today. God is warning, it would be wise for them to read the book of Hosea, to see what God says, and to pay attention. God is not a fool. He's not a puppet on a string. He's God. He sets the standard. Man needs to follow God's standard if he wants to know the blessing of God. And God's way is good. I'm not sorry that I became a Christian. I'm happy to be a Christian. God's way is good. It's right. It's the only way to live. In verse 17, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. What happened to the nation of Israel? The north went into Assyrian captivity. The south went into Babylonian captivity. After 70 years, King Cyrus said, you can go back. And some of them did. They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. But if you go back to Israel today and you look at the walls that Nehemiah built and you compare that to the part of the wall that's standing there by the Temple Mount, the wall of Nehemiah is a little thing. And that's why the enemies of Israel said, even if a fox comes up against this wall, it won't withstand it. And it's true. The walls that Nehemiah built were built from the rubble of the original walls. So they're small stones. You look at that Wailing Wall that's there by the Temple Mount, those stones they weigh more than a ton. They're big stones. They're not going to come down very easy. So that's the difference. And look at the nation of Israel today, still scattered across the world. There are Jews in Canada. There's Jews in just about every country. There are Jews living. Why is that? Why are they not all back in Israel? Because they were scattered. And God is slowly but surely drawing them back. Because of the anti-Semitism in Canada, Jews are leaving. But there are still Jews here in the United States and elsewhere. But they're slowly moving back, and they're going to continue to move back because God wants them back in that land. and eventually they're going to be there. But for the time being, because of their sin, God scattered them. And with that scattering, they don't have the protection. So we have in our country today, we have Muslims marching in the streets of Toronto, talking about the death of Jews, and what do the police do? Nothing. We have Hamas encampments around Toronto. The Jews, a few weeks ago, they tried to say, well, we're going to counter that. We'll make our own encampment. Guess what happened? They barely started to put their encampment up, and the police came and said, take it down. But they didn't tell Hamas to do that. The Jews are vulnerable. They don't have protection in Canada. Over 100 synagogues in Canada in the last month received warnings, threats from the Muslims of destruction coming. What did the police do? Nothing. Nothing. You see, the Jews are in a very precarious state right now. They're in trouble in their own land, but at least there they have an air force, they have an army, but they don't have that in our country. They're very vulnerable. They're wanderers among the nations. And so even as we look in our time today, we can see that it's not a wise thing to rebel against God. For a Jew or for a Gentile, it's never a wise thing to rebel against God. The wise person humbles himself and says, yes, there is a God. I need to know the true God, not the phony gods that are out there that people are talking about. I need to know the true God, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who made man, the one who is still watching over the world and only allowing sin to go so far. That's the God we need to know. And when we are held in his hand, and the Bible says every one of his children are held in his hand, that's where we're safe. That doesn't mean we won't be killed. That doesn't mean we won't be poor. That doesn't mean we won't get sick, but it means that we have eternal life. And that's worth far more. Because on this earth, we live up to maybe 100 years old. A few people will. Most don't get to live that long. But after that, we die. And when a person dies, there's an entire eternity. And that eternity is either spent in heaven or in hell. And if you go to hell, there's no getting out of there. You can't buy your way out of there. You can't beg your way out of there. You can't do anything to get out of there. You're done. That's for all of eternity, you're in torment. Think about that. When you cut yourself, it hurts. Think about that. That hurt will never go away. It's in torment. The Bible says the gnashing of teeth from the pain. That's for eternity. But heaven, the Bible says, is a place of rest for all of eternity. But the only way to get to heaven is through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you don't want to know him as your Savior and Lord, you have no hope. You can invent your own Jesus if you want to, but it won't do you any good. Because in the end, you'll stand before the true Jesus. And he's not interested in your philosophies. He's given us his word. And we can know the truth. It's up to us to choose to follow God's way and to know his forgiveness and blessing. So again, if you're listening today and you're not saved, you haven't trusted in the true God for your salvation, today is the day to turn to him. We're here to help you. You can contact us. If you're here in the building, you can contact us right now, or you can send us an email, you can phone us, or whatever. We'd be happy to help you to know the truth. The most important thing is to know God's forgiveness, to have his peace in your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have thy word. We're thankful again that we can study thy word. We can learn so much if we'll listen to thee. And we know that there are many warnings given in thy word, and we as people oftentimes we want our ears tickled. We want someone to tell us a nice story. We want to hear a good joke. But thy word has many things that are very sober in it, because God knows, thou knowest, that we need to know the truth. And unless we accept the truth, we're doomed. We have nothing. And so I pray for each one that's listening today, thou knowest the heart of each one. For those that are listening and not saved, I pray that they would stop fighting against the truth, that they'd be willing to humble themselves and turn to thee in repentance and trust in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save them. For those that are saved, that we would want to honor thee and help others to know the truth as well. We thank thee that we have the opportunity to have this building here where we can meet. Thankful for our website, for sermon audio, the opportunities that we have to broadcast to other people. May thy will be accomplished in these things, and I pray that we would be faithful to thee and glorify thy name in all that is said and done here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.